It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Taliban talks canceled.
Seemed on the verge of a breakthrough until it all fell apart.
That is our top story at noon. The secret meeting with the terror group at Camp David called off yesterday after another U.S. service member was killed in Afghanistan last week. Democrats upset that the leader of Afghanistan wasn't even invited to the talks. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The leader of Afghanistan, Ghani, who most people think has done a lot better job than his predecessor, has been basically excluded. And he's never met with the Taliban. For the U.S. to meet with the Taliban and not have the leader of Afghanistan meet with the Taliban is something that's doomed to fail.
News of the secret peace deal has upset some Republicans, too, just days ahead of the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks. Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger says no member of the Taliban should ever be allowed into the U.S. Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso backing President Trump.
He's willing to talk to anybody. He's also willing to walk away from a bad deal, and a deal with the Taliban would have been a bad deal here.
Barrasso says President Trump is willing to sit down at the table with anyone if it means saving U.S. lives in war-torn Afghanistan. President Trump awarding the Medal of Valor to six police officers from Dayton, Ohio, who helped stop a mass shooting there last month. Nine people were shot and killed before authorities took out the gunman.
These incredible patriots responded to the worst violence and most barbaric hatred with the best of American courage, character, and strength.
President Trump also honoring five Americans from El Paso, Texas, for their bravery in last month's mass shooting at a Walmart that claimed 22 lives.
Faced with grave and harrowing threats, the men and women standing behind us stepped forward to save the lives of their fellow Americans. Few people could have done what they did.
The president saying today that the nation is shocked by these sadistic acts of bloodshed. Back to work in Washington.
The 116th Congress is facing limited time.
Lawmakers returning from their summer break today with a lot on their plate. Topping the menu, gun control.
There's immense pressure, even in the Republican Party right now, to do something about guns.
Political analyst Leonard Steinhorn, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he won't bring up a bill for a vote unless President Trump is willing to sign it. Missouri Republican Roy Blunt.
What the leader said this week, I think maybe it's the second time he said this, is we're not going to vote on bills on the Senate floor that the president's not willing to sign. The president needs to step up here and set some guidelines for what he would do.
The push for stricter gun control legislation follows another deadly summer of mass shootings in these United States. The Democratic presidential race changing shape. A CBS News battleground tracker in 18 states shows Elizabeth Warren beating Joe Biden by a percentage point.
This is a story of Elizabeth Warren rising, not necessarily Joe Biden falling. He is about where he has been.
That's pollster Anthony Salvanto.
Her support and that boost she's getting is as a result of other candidates, now former supporters, moving to Elizabeth Warren.
Salvanto says with the Democratic White House field starting to thin, it's going to be interesting to see where the party pledges allegiance, to the progressive Warren or to the moderate Biden. Another Republican candidate has surfaced to challenge President Trump for the GOP nomination.
We're headed toward the most predictable financial crisis in the history of our country, and we've never been as financially vulnerable save for the start of our republic, the Civil War, and World War II.
That's former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, Joe Walsh, and William Weld also in the race. President Trump has called them, quote, the Three Stooges. 20 crew members aboard a cargo ship that overturned and caught fire have been rescued off the southern coast of Georgia. Others are still missing.
When salvage professionals have determined the vessel to be stable, we will identify the best option to continue our rescue efforts for the four crew members who remain on board.
Coast Guard Commanding Officer Captain John Reed, emergency officials able to drill through the hull of that ship this morning and have reported that all four of the missing crew members are alive. A vigil over the weekend for at least 45 people killed in the Bahamas by Hurricane Dorian. Hundreds more remain missing. Thousands scrambling to leave the decimated islands.
It has arrived in the form of emergency shelter kits, water purification items, hygiene items, jerry cans just to carry clean water.
That's Janelle Eli with the American Red Cross. New research from Ohio State University shows the suicide rate in this country has spiked more than 40% over the past 15 years.
There are a lot of like individual factors that come into play, like mental health issues and individual unemployment or poverty.
Danielle Steele Smith helped author that study. Tempers flared on the first Sunday of the NFL.
Personal foul. Swing and contact, number 44. That player has been disqualified.
A total of three players ejected, including Jacksonville's Miles Jack, who got the boot for throwing a punch at a Kansas City Chiefs player. While it took a grueling 4 hours, 50 minutes to settle the men's championship at the U.S. Open, correspondent Steve Kaffin.
Rafael Nadal held off Daniil Medvedev in a five-set struggle on ESPN.
Have been one of the most emotional nights in my tennis career. All of you guys have been just amazing.
It's Nadal's 19th major title.
That's Steve Kaffin reporting. Still to come this Monday, New York's Archbishop sounds off on the controversy in Buffalo. A first for absentee voting in Pennsylvania. And need a job? Be in Amherst, New York tomorrow.
Well, a very good afternoon to all. A cool day underway across the area relative to normal, but some warmer times are coming. I'll have the numbers. The complete forecast is yours coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York, NPA, Monday, September 9th. New York's Archbishop says he's been closely following the controversy surrounding the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo. Cardinal Timothy Dolan is said to be consulting with his team regarding the sex abuse scandal that's led to countless lawsuits and accusations against local priests and other officials, including Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone. Malone remains at his post as bishop in Buffalo amid growing calls for him to step down. State health officials now urging all New Yorkers to stop vaping. It follows a recent spike in lung-related illnesses all across the country. The warning is causing concern among those who take part in New York's medical marijuana program. Dr. Matthew McGraw at the University of Rochester Medical Center says a dozen patients there have sought treatment after suffering lung damage from vaping cannabis oil.
We know that the combination of THC and CBD, at least the amount of THC that's present in these e-liquids, is higher than typically what would be seen in a marijuana cigarette or a marijuana joint.
The State Health Department asking licensed medical marijuana users to consult their health care providers with 450 possible cases of lung disease and at least 5 deaths in the U.S. linked to vaping. The experts urging folks to stop while they investigate. Well, for the first time ever, Pennsylvanians who won't be able to vote in person this fall will be able to apply online for absentee ballots. The Wolf administration announcing today that voters can use the new site next week for absentee ballots in the November 5th election. Applicants will need a driver's license or ID number. The applications will be accepted starting 1 week from today. The New York Buy American Act has become permanent. Over the weekend, Governor Cuomo announcing legislation that makes the law lasting.
Number one, it protects American jobs and it grows New York jobs. Manufacturing is now 5% of the New York economy.
The Buy American Act requires all structural steel and iron used in state road and bridge projects that are worth more than $1 million to be made in the USA.
It makes sure that we have the best quality steel and concrete and iron going into our infrastructure projects.
The law was originally set to expire in April of next year. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf continues his trip across Europe.
The Democrat is visiting Holocaust memorials in Lithuania and Poland as part of his week-long trip overseas. Wolf is carrying the mezuzah that was on the office door of Rabbi Jeffrey Myers when a gunman burst into Pittsburgh's Tree of Life synagogue last year and killed 11 people. Mezuzahs are cases that hold a scroll of verses from the Torah and are mounted by Jews in their door frames. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Back to school season, giving some lawmakers in Pennsylvania a chance to renew their fight for whole milk in public schools. U.S. Senator Pat Toomey and U.S. Congressman Glenn Thompson pushing to get whole and 2% milk back in school. Those varieties were banned under the Obama administration nutrition guidelines. Currently, schools can only serve skim or 1% milk. Both lawmakers have introduced their own legislation that calls on the USDA to lift those restrictions. Well, a community came together to help out a little boy battling cancer in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. 6-year-old Nathan Gray, still going to school, still playing soccer, despite his diagnosis. His mother is Tricia Gray.
Can't even go like 2 steps without getting hugs and kisses from people, and it is just such a wonderful feeling knowing that we have so much community support.
All of the money raised from yesterday's event at the Wilkes-Barre Fire Hall will go to help Nathan's family with their medical expenses. With winter on the way, AAA looking to hire some people. A job fair will take place at 100 International Drive in Amherst, New York, tomorrow afternoon from 3 until 6 p.m. The organization looking to hire roadside assistance drivers in Cheektowaga and customer service representatives in Williamsville. Well, the Bills came roaring back. What a way to start the season. Sunny time, 2-minute drill.
Yeah, Bill, what a Sunday. Buffalo Bills down 16-0 to the New York Jets. Then with 3 minutes left, Josh Allen finding John Brown.
And he's got him!
Touchdown. Bills win 17-16. Sean McDermott.
Line of scrimmage-wise, that's one of the things I try and answer after every game or during the game, quite honestly, at times, is are we winning the line of scrimmage battle? Are we winning it up front?
Jets head coach Adam Gase.
We got to lock in. We got to focus. We got to make sure that we do a great job week in and week out, and can't let one game define our season.
Another big comeback in Philadelphia. Eagles down 17-0. Play of the game.
He's got Jackson again.
One of DeSean Jackson's 2 touchdown catches as the Eagles rally for a 32-27 win. Carson Wentz.
A little slower start than we'd like to, as a team, but I think that was just good to see our resilience.
And no play of the game in Cleveland as the Titans destroy the Browns 43-13. Baker Mayfield intercepted 3 times. Afterwards, said,
it's game one of a long season.
In Arlington, Dak Prescott with 4 touchdowns. Cowboys beat the Giants 35-17. Pat Shurmur said both sides of the ball. Ouch.
I think we were 2 for 12 on third down, so that's very unacceptable, and we'll get that fixed.
Also, both sides of the ball, ouch. The Steelers crushed by the defending world champion Patriots 33-3 last night. Head coach Mike Tomlin.
No need to sugarcoat it, man. We weren't ready for prime time tonight.
Tonight, Texans at the Saints, Broncos at the Raiders. Major League Baseball, Mets fall to the Phillies 10-7. Phillies 2 games out of the National League wild card. Pirates fall to St. Louis. Blue Jays fall to Tampa Bay. Cleveland over Minnesota 5-2. Cleveland 1.5 out of the American League wild card. Yankees over the Red Sox 10-5. Rafael Nadal, celebrating his 4th career U.S. Open title, had to rally to beat Russia's Daniil Medvedev in 5. His 19th Grand Slam single title, one shy of Roger Federer for the most all-time for men. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Busy weekend in sports still to come this Monday. Back to work in Washington. Talks with the Taliban canceled and removing the bathroom stalls at a school in Alabama.
The NFL's nice guy isn't nice enough, even if he's trying to encourage young people to have confidence in what they believe. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Controversy erupts around Drew Brees, proclaimed news outlets on Friday. The very same news outlets who erupted the controversy, engulfing one of the NFL's best quarterbacks. Here's the story. In a short video, Brees encouraged students to participate and focus on the family's Bring Your Bible to School project. Now, he never once mentioned anything about sexual orientation or gender identity since, well, that's not what Bring Your Bible to School Day is all about. To my knowledge, Brees has never spoken publicly on LGBTQ issues. He really didn't even clarify his views on Friday when he was forced to respond to the quote-unquote erupting controversy. Perhaps Brees hasn't talked about LGBTQ issues because, you know, he's a football player, and that's not what football is about. Or perhaps he's realized, as a public figure who's a Christian, what would happen if his views were revealed to be anything less than a full-throated endorsement of the new sexual orthodoxy. Either way, Brees seemed honestly surprised by his presumed guilt simply because of a connection to this Focus on the Family project. That, in and of itself, is a lesson for all of us. Theologian N.T. Wright suggests that Christians need to ask the question, what time is it? Meaning that Christians should understand where they are in redemptive history within the overarching historical framework the scriptures present from creation to new creation. I'd add that Christians should also ask that question, what time is it, in regard to what cultural moment do we live in? In other words, what's being asked and expected of people of faith now, in this time, and in this place? Friday's Washington Post article on Drew Brees is a case in point. Widely assumed by many, especially by Allison Chu in the Washington Post piece, is that even associating with anyone who holds less than affirming views on LGBTQ issues is no longer acceptable, even if the association is completely unrelated to LGBTQ issues in any way. No argument was offered by Chu or any of the other critics why this is now the case. It was almost as if no argument is necessary. Now, that's more than a little frustrating, because as one blogger noted recently, any movement that spends years trying to shut down a Denver bakery or discredit a chicken sandwich restaurant is a movement that has long ago run out of real injustices to fight. And this second degree of separation guilt by association campaign against Brees indicates that the gatekeepers of the LGBTQ movement have moved on and are now demanding that everything, and I mean everything from football to business to education to politics to Stranger Things, has to be about this. As Focus on the Family Jim Daly demonstrated so well in his response to this nonsense, Christians should resist the demand to frame every issue of life and culture around LGBTQ issues. There's so much more to life than this. It's strange that Christians are constantly being asked why we spend so much time talking about sex. We're not the ones turning reality upside down, making this the one issue that every other issue has to be about. And yet, on the other hand, as Mr. Brees certainly found out, we won't be able to always sit this one out. If you're even perceived as being on the quote-unquote wrong side of history, it's not going to matter how nice you are. That means that in this time and in this place, we'll have to be ready to speak to those issues whenever appropriate or whenever unavoidable. Christian, what time is it? Well, it's post-sexual revolution time. It's a time in human history in which nearly everything about life and our life together, from our understanding of right and wrong to our understanding of what it means to be human, has been reimagined along the lines of sexuality. Now, if you were Drew Brees, targeted because of a completely unrelated story about your opinion on homosexuality or gender, what would you say? Too many Christians are unprepared for tough questions like this that, like it or not, are inevitable in this time and in this place. But there are answers. And last week, the Colson Center launched a brand new video series to help. It's called What Would You Say? And it provides understandable, repeatable, and convincing answers to the hardest cultural questions. New videos will be posted every week at whatwouldyousay.org. That's whatwouldyousay.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
18 minutes past the hour, Monday afternoon. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we find a cool air mass in place here in the Northeast once again. But a warm front is on the way. It's going to allow our temperatures and humidity values to rise, along with allowing for some showers to fall. That'll be as we head through later Tuesday and especially into Tuesday night and Wednesday. For this afternoon, it's a mix of clouds and sun. High temps, mid-60s to the low 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, cool again, the low in the 50s, some patchy fog in some of the valleys overnight. Partial sunshine tomorrow, turning warmer and more humid than today. High in the 70s and low 80s, there could be a late-day shower in western New York. Wednesday, variably cloudy, relatively warm and humid, Couple showers and rumbles with high temperatures near 80 degrees.
All right, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Monday, September 9th, President Trump has just awarded the Medal of Valor to six police officers from Dayton, Ohio, who helped stop a mass shooting there last month. Nine people shot and killed before these authorities took out the gunman.
These incredible patriots responded to the worst violence and most barbaric hatred with the best of American courage, character, and strength.
President Trump also honoring five Americans from El Paso, Texas, for their bravery in last month's mass shooting at a Walmart that claimed 22 lives.
Faced with grave and harrowing threats, the men and women standing behind us stepped forward to save the lives of their fellow Americans. Few people could have done what they did.
The president saying today that the nation is shocked by these sadistic acts of bloodshed. The Taliban out with new threats today after a secret meeting between the terror group and the Trump administration was canceled over the weekend. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy is at the White House.
The revelation of a plan for secret talks also uncovered a debate within the president's inner circle. National Security Advisor John Bolton reportedly opposed the Camp David session just days before the 9/11 anniversary. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was said to be in favor. Though the president's been inclined to draw down the U.S. troop presence in Afghanistan, he tweeted Saturday that he'd called off peace negotiations, a move the Taliban says will, quote, harm America more than anyone else and increase its loss of life.
That's Stephen Portnoy reporting. Congress got back to work today following their summer break. Gun control expected to be the big issue.
If the president will let us know what he'd sign, if it got on his desk, we'd be much more likely to do that.
That's Missouri Republican Roy Blunt. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he won't bring a bill up for a vote unless President Trump is willing to sign it. Here's political analyst Leonard Steinhorn.
The president is stuck between the rhetoric after all of these horrible shootings about doing something on guns and wanting to appeal to his base, not alienate them, not anger them. Mitch McConnell is waiting on the president, and if he continues to wait on the president, nothing's going to get done.
Steinhorn says gun control could be a big issue in the 2020 election. A CBS News tracking poll shows Senator Elizabeth Warren ahead of former Vice President Joe Biden in the Democratic race for the White House. That poll shows Warren beating Biden by a percentage point in 18 states. Pollster Anthony Silvanto says Warren's surge is coming at the expense of other candidates further down the list.
This is a story of Elizabeth Warren rising, not necessarily Joe Biden falling. He is about where he has been. But her support and that boost she's getting is as a result of other candidates, now former supporters, moving to Elizabeth Warren.
Salvanto says Elizabeth Warren is in a perfect position right now because none of the other Democratic candidates other than Bernie Sanders can attack her progressive record. Democrats plan to pursue impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Correspondent Bill Rakoff is on Capitol Hill.
The draft resolution issued by Chairman Jerry Nadler of New York is a technical step toward the possible impeachment of the president. The panel would still have to introduce formal impeachment articles against Mr. Trump and then win approval from the House. The resolution sets rules for the committee's hearings. It empowers staff to question witnesses, allows some evidence to remain private, and would permit the president's lawyers to respond to some of the testimony.
That's Bill Rakoff reporting. On the southern coast of Georgia today, folks can easily see a huge cargo ship after it flipped onto its side and caught fire.
Pretty unusual to see a ship of this size to be sitting on its side out here at St. Simon's Sound.
Correspondent Meg Oliver says four people still missing.
Rescuers evacuated 20 of the 24 crew members before a fire made the mission too dangerous.
As smoke and flames began to appear, the situation was too risky to further go inside the vessel.
Coast Guard officials say the rescue mission can only resume once they determine the ship is stable.
Meg Oliver reporting. Emergency officials able to drill through the hull of that ship earlier today and have reported that all four of the missing crew members are alive. Overseas now, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson went to Dublin, Ireland today for talks with that nation's prime minister. Leo Varadkar is concerned a no-deal Brexit would set off economic and border turmoil.
If there is no deal, it'll cause severe disruption for British and Irish people alike.
Boris Johnson is confident a deal can be reached before the end of next month. Almost all British Airways flights cancelled today.
I'm looking at a website that tracks flights in and out of BA's terminal at London's Heathrow Airport. Every single departing flight has a big red cancelled sign next to it. BA pilots staging a 48-hour strike over pay. The airline says it's offered 11.5% over 3 years. The union says that doesn't begin to make up for the pay cuts pilots took when the airline fell on hard times. They shared the pain then. Now they want to share the profits.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. It may not be a ringing vote of confidence, but Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin had this to say today about Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell.
I see no reason to expect that his job isn't safe.
Powell has been a frequent target of President Trump, who wants interest rates lowered. A Northern Alabama high school removing bathroom stalls to stop teenagers from smoking and vaping. This parent says the new rule, a little bit excessive.
They usually have a truancy officer or a police officer at the school, have them monitor the hallway, because, a bathroom is for each individual person's privacy.
Administrators at Wilson High School in Florence have removed the doors from some of the boys' bathrooms after one student was found passed out in the stall after vaping. 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome to Missions in Action, a feature that focuses on the work of missionaries who are delivering the good news of Jesus around the region and around the world. Today, we're visiting with Paul Kinley, Project Manager with Global Aid Network. Paul, as project manager with GAIN, please tell us of the ministry's focus.
Yes, Tracy. I manage a nonprofit project called Experience Missions in partnership with Global Aid Network, or GAIN. And GAIN is the humanitarian ministry arm of Campus Crusade for Christ, also known as CRU.
Tell us a little bit about Experience Missions. What does that involve?
We do four things: raise funds, recruit volunteers, host community and campus ministry events, and cast a vision for missions. Some of the projects we've done here in the Williamsport area is we've hosted World Hunger food packing events, where we will recruit upwards to 250 to 300 volunteers from the community, from a variety of churches, and throughout the community itself. And they'll come together to pack 45 to 50,000 meals of beans and rice. That food then will be distributed to various places around the world through the Campus Crusade for Christ network.
Wow, and how does that food then impact those areas all over the world? Like, how many countries?
Campus Crusade for Christ has an impact in 191 countries. GAIN is the humanitarian arm of Campus Crusade, and so we laser focus into about three regions of the world: Middle East, the Horn of Africa, and Central Asia.
What are the conditions like for people that will be receiving this food?
The ministry aid does primarily three things. It provides us access, number one, to regions within those countries that we would otherwise not be availed the access to get into those remote locations. Because we're walking in with humanitarian aid, food, clothing, medical supplies, shoes, care packs for children, blankets, vegetable seed packs, and that provides us access just to be able to get into these countries and into these types of villages. And then through that, we build relationships with the people in that region, which gains us credibility, and then ultimately gives us the availability to share the gospel. And that's the ultimate goal of GAIN. The ultimate goal of Experience Missions, as we partner with GAIN, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the aid provides that window and that door of opportunity.
You're meeting that really practical need. Do you have a story that stands out of how someone's been impacted or how you've been impacted by this whole ministry?
Yeah. I took a mission trip with GAIN to Guatemala. We were distributing water filters about the size of your hand, That can filter water for anywhere from 5 to 10 years when properly managed. And we walked into a small little hut, dirt floor, very desolate situation. Through a translator, we asked the homeowner, we said, do you have clear water here? And they said, yes, we actually have a device that was given to us through GAIN. So the lady grabbed a bag, came to us, and showed us a water filter that she was actually using for 2 years there in her remote village to provide her with clean water for her family. She was so grateful for our return to see that everything was working fine. And it was really an impactful moment for our team because it gave a lot of credibility to the Ministry of GAIN that we not only just go and distribute this aid, but we go back and we follow up. Another lady was in a garden, and she said 2 years ago, GAIN came and gave us vegetable seeds, and she turned and said, look at my garden. And so it was a huge garden, and she was so appreciative of the vegetable seeds that many people have packed here in the United States. You know, Tracy, that's another thing. People come to our events here in our region. They pack this food, but they're doing something for people they will rarely, if ever, meet. But when you go face-to-face on a mission trip and you see these people, it impacts you. That's how I got involved with missions. I went on a short-term mission trip. It impacted me so much, I quit my job and began working in missions full-time.
That's Paul Kinley with Global Aid Network. I'm Tracy Lynn with Family Life News. How is the Lord guiding you to reach out to others?
Thank you, Tracy. Missions in Action comes your way Mondays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we find a cool air mass in place here in the Northeast once again. But a warm front is on the way. It's going to allow our temperatures and humidity values to rise, along with allowing for some showers to fall. That'll be as we head through later Tuesday and especially into Tuesday night and Wednesday. For this afternoon, it's a mix of clouds and sun. High temps, mid-60s to the low 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, cool again, the low in the 50s. Some patchy fog on some of the valleys overnight. Partial sunshine tomorrow, turning warmer and more humid than today. High in the 70s and low 80s. There could be a late-day shower in western New York. Wednesday, variably cloudy, relatively warm and humid. Couple showers and rumbles with high temperatures near 80 degrees.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, a University of Tennessee fan from Florida, now an official product designer for the Volunteers. This after the young guy was bullied at school for wearing an orange shirt with a piece of paper on it that featured a homemade design of the University of Tennessee logo on it. After a post about the bullying went viral, the university sent the boy and his classmates a care package. They're also using his design officially on their website. How about that? That is the world we live in for a Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.